Today I have selections from the book of Jonah. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going there, so he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came that the ship threatened to break up. They said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be quiet for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you, because I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him in the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. So now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, open our hearts to your presence and your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are here in this place, right here among us. Guide us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So it's quite the story, as I was telling the kids. I encourage you to go home today and just read through Jonah. Read through all four little chapters. It's a very easy read, so worthwhile, and every single one of us needs to know the story because we are Jonah. Sometimes we don't understand, and sometimes we don't listen to the God we serve. So let's look at Jonah's adventure from another perspective. When God asked Jonah to warn the Ninevites that he would destroy them if they did not repent, we have to know that Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, a brutal and depraved people who were feared and hated by all the surrounding nations. They were awful. The Assyrians were not popular in Israel because in the 8th and 9th centuries BC, they plundered Palestine, looting and burning the cities and deporting all the people. In 722 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel ceased to exist because of their conquest. In other words, this would be like God saying to one of us, "I want you to go warn that ISIS terror cell to repent so I can save them." It was a ludicrous mission, according to Jonah. So instead of going east, he got on a boat and went west. His presence caused that great storm, so after throwing him overboard, this great fish swallows him up for 3 days and nights and then spits him out on the shore. But God is serious about this mission. Even after all of that, it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. "Get up and go to Nineveh. Warn them." And he goes and he cries out the shortest sermon in the entire Bible, only 5 words long in Hebrew, He just says, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. His heart was really in it, you know. But the people of Nineveh believed God. Not only did they believe God, they had this big revival. They all turned from their evil ways and God gave them a second chance. God did not destroy them. This did not go over well with Jonah. He didn't like those Ninevites to begin with. And now he really didn't like them because God was sparing their lives. So he pouted. He got depressed. At the end of the book, it says that he cried and sat down under a little shady bush that God had provided until God got a little frustrated and a worm came and ate that bush. God finally asks Jonah at the end, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah just complains that his little bush has been destroyed, and God says, "Should I not be concerned about the 120,000 Ninevites?" That's the end of the story. It is also a big fish story. No joke. You know how those fish stories always seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger over time? Well, I don't think it's any coincidence that this story has a big fish in it. And we don't have to think literally here. We're just getting the moral of the story. That's so important. The story is also pretty funny when you look at it, because what makes Jonah think that he can go in the opposite direction and run away from God and the consequences? What makes Jonah think that God is going to give up on these people, that he wants Jonah to warn? Jonah forgets that if God wants these people warned, then they will be warned, come hell or high water, literally. Jonah is an important story because of what we learn about Jonah, who's an awful lot like us, and what we learn about God. And our verses today are a lesson in contrast, because Jonah is not like the disciples that Jesus called in our gospel lesson today. Ever wondered how on earth those guys could just get up and follow? Jonah's not one of them. He doesn't drop everything and follow. He goes in the opposite direction. And I wonder, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you were fleeing in the opposite direction of where God wanted you to be? I certainly have. And have you ever suffered some consequences for going in the other direction? You may have not been swallowed by a fish, but did you learn how persistent God can be? When have you turned away from what you knew God was telling you to do? When have you turned away from really good advice, prodding you in the right direction, and you decided, nope, I'm going that way? Jonah makes poor choices to avoid God's call. But he has a legitimate excuse when you think about it. Like us, he has enemies with good reason. He doesn't want to help these people who torture and oppress. His feelings are totally understandable. Because think about it, who are your enemies? Who are people you'd rather leave stranded on the side of the road? We've all got them in our lives. We've got them as a whole community, as a whole country. And just imagine if God said to you, I want you to go talk to them. I want you to care for them. What would you do? How would you feel? Then imagine it's Jesus who goes even further and says, I want you to love them. I don't want you to just talk to them. I want you to pray for them and love them. That's not easy. Those are hard words of God. It's never easy. And yet that's what God calls us to do. That's the kind of God we have. We have this God of love. Love for everyone and anyone in the whole world. Do you remember the words of John 3:16? For God so loved the world. The world. Not just a little group of people, but the world. It seems unfathomable to our human minds, but God actually does love everyone. Even the evil people, even our enemies, even the enemies of God, it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't have to. It's just who God is. And it's not that God neglects justice for evildoers. God starts this whole story by telling Jonah to warn them that they have been evil, that he wants to destroy them for what they have done if they do not repent. But when they do, we have this God of love and mercy and compassion and second chances. In fact, God doesn't give up on Jonah or on the Ninevites. God is a God of second chances for anyone who will listen. Many commentators believe that Jonah represents the people of Israel because the word Jonah in Hebrew means dove, and dove was often a symbol for the people of Israel. Israel at this time had also rebelled against God and looked into herself too much. God had called Israel to be a light to all the nations, and the people of Israel said, not all of them. So God brought punishment to the people of Israel. They were taken into exile by Babylon, which many commentators believe is symbolized by that big fish. It's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes the same thing happens to us, or even to our churches, when we lose sight of the mission of the church, which is to reach out, not in. Sometimes we can forget our calling to reach out into the world well beyond the walls of this church. This Jonah story is also a lot like Acts 10, which I encourage you to read sometime this week, when Peter receives this famous rooftop vision where he was taught to accept clean and unclean foods, clean and unclean people. He had to change his idea that good Christians had to be good law-following Jews first. God said, no, Peter, look at all this coming down. It was all kinds of food. You can eat all these foods and you can welcome all people. Peter ends up joining the household of Cornelius, preaching, repenting, receiving the Holy Spirit, welcoming new people, Gentiles, eating new foods like pizza with ham and pepperoni and a few other unclean things. When Peter receives that vision from God, he is actually in the city of Joppa. Sound familiar? Same place Jonah was when he decided to get on the boat going in the wrong direction. It was apparently an important place for people receiving wild messages from God. It was a turning point, and Peter listened, but Jonah went rogue. The question is, which one will we be? Peter or Jonah? We can all sympathize with Jonah. It seems like some people just don't deserve the love of God. It doesn't make sense to spend our time and energy sharing it with them. It seems like some people don't deserve a second chance, right? Or a third, or a fourth. Well, what if that's not right? What if that's the point of the Jonah story, that everyone deserves a second chance? Jonah gets one. God asks him a second time to carry out the mission. And the Ninevites get one. He gave them another chance. But it all rubbed Jonah the wrong way. In the beginning of chapter 4, he says to God, oh, I knew you were a gracious God. Darn it. I knew you were loving and merciful and kind. Ugh. It's kind of like a story I was reading this week told by Reverend William Carter about a flight from Johannesburg, South Africa to London, England. There was a woman who got on the plane with a thick European accent, and she came down the aisle and discovered her seat assignment right next to a man who had an African accent. So she looked at her ticket and looked at the seat, and looked at her ticket and looked at the seat. And then she asked the man, are you sure that you're in the right seat? He said, yes, yes, I'm in the right seat. So she turned around and looked for other empty seats on the plane, and there weren't any. And so she started tugging on the flight attendant. She said, excuse me. As you can see, I'm sitting next to a person whose skin color is different from mine. The flight attendant said, yes, ma'am, I can see that. Well, this is unacceptable to me. Is there another seat? The flight attendant said, I'm sorry, ma'am. It's against our policy to move people unnecessarily. No, you don't understand. I have money to get a seat. Is there a seat in first class that I could go to? The flight attendant said, well, I'll go look. So she shrugged her shoulders, walked up the aisle, and a few minutes later she came back to this woman and the man who was seated in his seat, and she leaned over to the woman and then tapped the man on the shoulder and said, I'm sorry, sir, I hate to do this, but we must make a seat change. If you'll follow me, we have a seat for you in first class. That's the love of God. Everybody deserves the first class treatment. Sometimes we are the ones who get stuck in our old seat. We may not like it, but even people we feel like are outsiders, even people we feel like are enemies, they are beloved children of God. It was the Ninevites in the story who repented faster than Jonah. Our God is so loving and merciful and forgiving of anyone. Our God is a God of second chances. That is the good news of the gospel today. May we be willing to share the love and grace of God with anyone and everyone who will listen. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.